If you'd like to know more about the plants mentioned on this episode, visit our Instagram page at Plants People Places Podcast or our Facebook page and just search for Plants People and Places Podcast. Welcome to Plants, People and Places, the podcast in which we speak with plants people and find out what special connection they have with their plants. In this episode, we speak with head gardener of Ventnor Botanic Garden on the Isle of Wight, Wayne Williams. Wayne, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Philip. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Great to have you on the podcast. Each other for quite a few years, so I know quite a lot about you, but of course the listeners won't. So could you introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, so as Philip just said, I'm Wayne. I'm a head gardener at Ventnor Botanic Gardens. I've previously worked at Birmingham Botanical Gardens as well. I've been in horticulture all my working life, and obviously I've loved plants and horticulture from a very early age.
Yeah, and so what originally got you into horticulture and liking plants then?
Well, I think it first started really sort of at primary school. I mean, I remember it when I was 5 years old, sowing mustard and cress seeds on blotting paper and putting it on the windowsill. And I just thought it's so magical, you know, to see these plants growing from these tiny seeds. And it doesn't really matter how many times you grow plants from seed. It's always so magical, isn't it? That magic never disappears. So I think that really got me started. And then from there, I started gardening in my parents' garden. Started off making mud pies, as you do when you're five or six, and then gradually, reading books and sort of cutting pieces of my dad's lawn away.
Oh yes,
trying to get my mum round dad. Oh, do you think he'll let me have a bit of his lawn so I can?
Yeah,
you know, the garden's getting quite full now. I need some bigger borders. You know, certainly by my teenage years, in some ways I was pretty uncool at the time, I suppose, being as I love plants. But of course, these days it's really quite cool to love your plants, obviously, which
Well,
is
I
great.
think you're probably one of the coolest people on the planet by now with all the plants you like. It's funny you mentioned the bit of the lawns, because that's exactly what happened at my place where I grew up. We had quite a lot of lawn when I grew up. And gradually, I think by the time we moved out of that place, there was no lawn left whatsoever. And it was just big borders and little paths amongst those. So, very recognizable, I think, Wayne.
And of course, my dad liked it because he didn't have to do any gardening at the end because I was doing it all. So,
yeah. Well, I think in my case, it was the lawn mowing he didn't like, because he did like gardening. So, so that all worked out. So you've looked after so many plants, of course, because, I actually know you from Birmingham Botanical, and you worked there for, I think, 20 years, was it? A long time, wasn't it?
26 years, yes.
26
A
even, wow,
long
yeah.
time.
Yeah, and looking after the plant collection there as well. But have you got any plants that are your favourites, or have you come across any recently that you discovered at Ventnor that you thought, oh, that's really, really lovely?
Yeah, it's always a difficult question to ask horticulturists, isn't it? What's your favourite? And especially when you've worked with so many different kinds of plants. But I really love bromeliads. I just love the colour range of the tropical ones in particular. And you know, the epiphytic ones, you know, the neorigelias, things like that. And I think they're amazing because you've got the leaf color and then you've also got the flower color as a contrast. And really quite a lot of them are blue flowered in the center. And I think it's amazing how they grow, you know, several hundred feet up in the tropics on the trees. And in their rosettes, of course, as we all know, they collect the rainwater in there, and they have little ecosystems within them as well, like, you know, even frogs, tree frogs and stuff in there. So they're pretty cool. I do love Proteaceae as well, so Proteas. And for those of you who followed me on social media, you would have seen that on Monday I posted the King Protea. Oh, there you go.
I've
Thank you,
got it
Philip.
on my social media here in front of his beautiful picture.
So the King Protea, Protea cyanoroides, opened at Ventnor on Monday. It's the first time, I think, for 10 years that we've had a Protea in flower in Ventnor, I think.
Wow.
Which is good. And in the winter time, I mean, obviously, well, at Ventnor, frosts are very rare. But we did have a cold spell in December, like most of the UK. So I actually got a pair of my woolly socks, as you do, and put them over the bud to protect it, just in case that rare frost came along, you know. And I was sort of half convinced in my first winter it'd be my fault, and the first frost in many years would be there. But luckily, it didn't affect it, and yeah, it sailed through and it's opened. And I do love bananas. I'm quite bananas about bananas as well, Philip, I'm
All
afraid.
right.
So I do grow several kinds of muscat in my private garden. And of course, I've just moved to the island. I actually officially moved here in March. So I've got a little private garden where I've literally, well, I've still got the last few plants to plant. I'm a little bit behind being as I've moved. I've got a variety of muscat and anemones. So I'm really excited to see how they do in the climate on the Isle of Wight.
That'd be interesting. Did I ever give you a mousse à bijoux, succulent, I think it's called? It's like a half the size of a normal mousse à bijoux.
No,
No, I'll get you a
a more
bit of it.
narrow leaf. Oh,
No, the
thank you very
leaves are
much.
more or less the same size, but it's just shorter, stumpier, and it's supposed to be hardier as well. Not that that would affect you much, but I'll get you a bit of that. It's we've planted it in the moat at Walmer Castle.
Oh, fantastic. That'd be great.
It's really nice, and it is actually it is definitely stumpier than the normal mousse à bijoux. So it's quite
Oh,
nice to see
yes.
a few more different cultivars of that as well, isn't it?
Definitely,
And
yeah.
more to collect for you.
Oh, yes, definitely. I need to fill my garden.
Absolutely. I'll come over soon. Wayne already mentioned it, but if you would like to see this picture of this beautiful King Crow tea, I did just look it up. His Instagram is at theplantaholic1, which is nearly my Instagram as well, because I'm at Mr. Dot Plantaholic. So we're very similar. It's not just
We
gardens
are.
that we dug up when we were young, it's also Instagram names. Beautiful plants, and I hope that we'll be able to put some on our Instagram page as well at Plants, People and Places podcast. It's also it's all about plants and people, this podcast, of course. So one of the questions that we always ask is there a plant that you have like a special connection with, because you've got a good memory of it. It was given to you by someone special, or you saw it somewhere, and it always reminds you of that. Have you got anything like that that you've got a nice link with?
I do. I have Persicaria red dragon,
Oh, wow.
which a lot of people into foliage plants obviously have got, or certainly their exotic gardens, even though it's completely hardy, of course. I love it because of, not only because of the coloration, but I feel really privileged to have mine because the source where I got it from was from the famous late Will Giles,
Oh, wow, really?
who had his famous garden in Norfolk, who obviously sadly passed away in September 2015. So, you know, obviously every time I look at that plant, I think of Will. And I only met him the once, but he was a lovely chap, obviously very, very knowledgeable. And as you know, Philip, he was almost like a exoticist, even though I can't say the word God in the
Yes,
UK. He was one of
definitely.
the first, wasn't he? One of the first, you know, for trying out all these new things to cultivation in the UK. He certainly started in the 80s in his own private garden anyway. And by the late 80s, he had huge stands of Musa Basjo, I think, in his 1 acre garden. And I only visited the garden the once, but it was incredible what he had there.
Yeah, I was really, really lucky to actually visit the garden myself, because we had this horticultural meet up in Norwich, and we went to the Bishop's garden first. It's also a really beautiful garden, lots of tropicals in there as well, because I think they exchanged a lot with Will Giles, the previous head gardener as well. But definitely, that's one worth visiting. It's they open quite often for charity. But in the afternoon, we were going to go to Will Giles's garden, and they were shut because there was a wedding. And well, that's what I thought. But we went to a national collection holder of the James Lye fuchsias, Christopher Harper, and he invited us over for tea. And afterwards, most of the group just went home, And they all went like, oh, we'll go another time to Will Giles' garden. But I thought, now I really want to see it. So my friend Pete and I, we went up there and had a really good look around. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful garden. I think it's a garden that's probably influenced me more than any other garden. And yeah, we saw it for a few hours, and that was just before Will Giles died. So if we hadn't gone, I would have never seen that garden. I think my entire gardening style might not be the same as it is now. So yeah, it's such a shame the garden isn't there anymore. But
Yes,
yeah,
yeah.
just a little plug. I do mention it in my book, of course, as well, The Jungle Garden. So,
Yeah,
because,
fantastic.
yeah, it
Yeah.
has really been one of those most influential gardens for me. The way he had the layout with the dense planting on either sides of the path.
Yes.
And yeah, beautiful, wasn't it?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Amazing. That tree house he had as well.
Yes. Oh, yeah, amazing. Probably twice the size of my living room, actually, where I am now. Yeah, I did hear that part of it is now built on, unfortunately. So yeah,
Oh dear.
there's not much
Yeah.
left anymore. But we can only grow more and more plants ourselves and keep it going, I suppose. That's
Exactly.
the thing about it.
Definitely. Yeah.
So we've talked about plants you really love, of course. My next question, you might guess, is: have you got a plant ick? So is there any plant that you really cannot stand and would never ever put in your garden?
Yeah, so I do like violas, but I don't like the big cultivar pansy type violas. You
All
know, the
right.
ones that look like clowns to me or big smiley faces. And I know a lot of people do because they're quite cheery. But for me personally, I think they just look too hybridized. I don't really know.
All
And
right, yeah.
I think it's because as well I've had bad experiences growing them in the past.
Oh, I thought it was clowns.
yeah, because they've succumbed to sort of rust or leaf spot virus and that
Oh,
kind
yeah.
of thing as well. So yeah, but I know there's a lot of people out there who love them. My sister, she loves them, so
Oh, well, you're on the Isle of Wight, so she isn't, I think,
can't
is she?
like everything.
No, well, that's a very good answer. Yeah, last week we actually had hybridized bedding plants was the answer as well, Kevin Hobbs' answer. So, yeah, you're in the same boat there. Looking back at your career or even now, are there any horticultural heroes you have?
Well, obviously, Will Giles is one of them, definitely. Roy Lancaster's certainly up there, as with a lot of professional gardeners. You
Yeah,
know,
he's one of mine.
the plant knowledge he has and the places he's visited,
Yeah.
wow. And also Carol Klein, of course. Fantastic. And really, I remember in about 1990, there was the Channel 4 Gardening Club. And I was a teenager at the time. And I love that program because that introduced me to Roy Lancaster and Carol Klein.
Oh, wow. I've
And
never seen
it
that.
was amazing. And do look out for it. It's on YouTube. Obviously, there are episodes on YouTube with Carol Klein's very colourful hair
Oh,
and
yeah.
colourful clothing, which is fantastic. And all of the plants are obviously well named, obviously, and the name comes up on the screen. So
Oh,
it
right,
helped
yeah.
me to learn a lot of plant names.
Oh, right.
And just both of their enthusiasm with plants, of course, it's just amazing. So, yeah,
Yeah, it is
incredible
very
program.
funny because I could actually give you the same names if you would ask for my horticultural heroes. I love Carol Klein as well, and it is that enthusiasm of Carol
Yeah,
that I just love.
definitely.
Yeah, she did some really beautiful programs in the past as well, like Gardener's World specials. There was one about plant collectors, which I'd love to see again because, yeah, there was one lady her entire front garden was just full of plants in somewhere in London. And yeah, it was just amazing. I thought, yeah, that would be me, really, just a plantaholic like we are.
Yes.
Yeah, no, Roy Lancaster as well, of course, amazing person, really, really good. I sometimes see him at the plant group meetings at Hilliers as well. And even at his age, he's still discovering new plants. And you come across with a plant and he knows the story of it or who introduced it. And yeah, it's just, yeah. I wish at one point we would get to that stage. It's very, very difficult. These people are just constantly in the plants,
Oh
of
yeah.
course, and
Oh
yeah,
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. dream life, I would think they have.
Definitely, yeah.
So if you would say you would meet Carol Klein or Roy Lancaster, I mean, where you work, it's quite likely that you'll see one or both of them. Is there any particular plant that you think, oh, they must have this because they might not know it or because you love it?
Oh, good question, Philip. Wow. Obviously, they know so many, don't they? They know it all, of course. And of course, Roy Lancaster, certainly, if he doesn't now, he used to do very good articles for for the Garden and for the Plant Review, of
Oh, yes.
course, as well. And so, you see insights into his own private garden, and some of the amazing things that he has in his garden anyway. So I'm well aware of some of the things. And of course, Carol as well. She's obviously been on the telly and done series, her own series in her own garden, hasn't she, in Devon?
Yes,
Oh gosh, plants that they grow that I like or have been influenced by them, perhaps. Oh gosh, good question. Obviously, it's got to be something exotic. I'm just trying to think. Oh, I remember reading one article by Roy Lancaster many years ago saying that he grew in Impatiens tinctoria,
All right.
which is, I mean, many years ago, we all considered it really, really tender, and so did Roy. I remember seeing in the article that he used to cover his up in, of course, he's got a garden in Hampshire. And he used to cover his with the crown of his with old carpet for the winter to make sure he didn't lose it.
Oh, wow.
But I mean, obviously, in Birmingham Botanics and in my own private garden that I had in Birmingham, I used to grow it year in, year out. It was a perennial, really quite tough, actually, quite. And I think most people have discovered just how tough it is. Of course, at Ventnor, we have it, not a problem. It comes through the winter, no problem. So, yeah, that's certainly one plant that sticks in my mind. From Roy Lancaster, literally hundreds, I suppose. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yes. I've seen it, I think, at Birmingham Botanical, but I've never grown it myself. So, yeah, no,
It's a
lovely
tall
plant.
plant, isn't it? It's quite a tall plant with white flowers and a red blotch if people don't know it. And it is scented at night, actually, as well.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
Oh,
it is.
I didn't know any Impatiens could be scented, really.
Just give off a bit of a, obviously, I know everyone's got a different sense of smell. But even the Himalayan balsam, such a thug it can be, I can detect the scent off that. I'm sure other people can. And to me, it's more like a peachy sort of scent
All
when you
right.
get a big
Well,
mass of it in
I'll have to
flower.
pay attention next time.
So, but obviously, you have to make sure that you knock it down before it seeds everywhere, of course.
Yes, absolutely.
Whereas
That's Ventnor Botanics
the
covered.
tinctoria doesn't. Isn't as invasive that I must add.
Okay. No, that's better then. No, great.
Oh,
Well, thank you so much, Wayne, for being on the podcast. It's been really, really nice to speak to you again. And I do hope
thank you,
to come
Philip.
over to the Isle of Wight this year. I need to see my colleague Toby at Osborne House as well. So
Yeah,
I'm
please do.
sure we'll
Please
get another
do.
visit in. And
And we'll
of
do some
course,
plant swaps as well, of course.
oh
Always good to do
definitely.
plant swaps. So let me know if there's anything you have to in particular.
Yeah, well,
Yeah.
I've got that banana for you, of course.
Thank you
And of
very
course, yeah, for
much.
the listeners as well, if you are on the Isle of Wight, do visit Ventnor Botanic. Wayne is doing an amazing job there. So, yeah, do pop down and yeah, say hello and see his beautiful plants. Thank you again, Wayne, and I'll see you
Cheers,
soon.
Philip. Thank you. Cheers.
This podcast is sponsored by Newbury Farm Plants in Silsoe, Central Bedfordshire. Newbury Farm Plants for all your plant needs. Now, with their on-site cafe, Hosta Coffee, you can enjoy a coffee whilst you browse their beautiful range of plants. Newbury Farm Plants in Silsoe, Central Bedfordshire.